You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode of Blueshirts Breakaway is brought to you by you, the fans. That's right. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtsbreakaway today to get access to our BSBOTs, our Discord, ad-free episodes, and much, much more. On today's episode, we have our good friend Fitz on. We talk about, you're never going to believe it, the New York Rangers, the playoffs, which are not that far away, and a lot more. So stay tuned, but before that, here is Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Hey, Blue Shirts Break fans, welcome to another week of the Blue Shirts Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead. I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Gregory, say hello.
I feel
the same way. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, this is a weird podcast, right? This I think there's many shows we come on here and do where I go, this is going to be easy. Layups. Things are good. Like, man, there's so much to talk about. I think that my big takeaway is I believe in the team too much, and I hate that I actually believe in them, and yet I think the top of the NHL is as close as it's ever been talent wise.
What are there? There's seven teams all within a point of each other in the president's race?
Yeah.
Something like that.
The New York Rangers, I can't believe I'm telling you this, as of Saturday night, were first in the NHL. That's pretty fucking cool. Didn't think I'd be able to tell you that. They could also lose the Metro this week. It's a weird way to go about it. I saw the Jake Guentzel stat is his line is 15-0 when he's on the ice for goals. Pretty good. Seems like the Carolina Hurricanes refuse to die at any point in time. I got the chance to speak to a lot of different Ranger fans over the weekend. It seems like everyone has the same opinion. I would love to play anybody but Tampa. Tampa scares the bejesus out of me for every single reason we've ever named. And now I'm getting tagged like six times a day. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we lost the Metro and played the Flyers? Like, you've seen Laviolette make the, who, by the way, Laviolette clearly on the internet talking about how he's like, hey, I've seen, like, we just got to play who's in front of us. We want to win. Everyone wants to win. And that's what it is. So that's where I want to start. There's obviously some news, like Gustafson likely has an upper body injury, AKA he's concussed. If you saw the hit. Lindgren skating, Jesus Christ, how did that happen? I guess we know he's made of adamantium. And the Rangers beat two amazing teams, including dominate the Boston Bruins, and find a way to win down 2-0 versus the Florida Panthers, even though they're missing two of their better players, some people would love to tell you. Where would you like to start?
I would like to start with the bullshit that is fall spring week in upstate New York.
Oh, like, when you get 70 degree weather for like a couple days and then snow?
Yeah, fucking blizzard, Ryan. I listen, you made a lot of good points talking about the New York Rangers there. But I think we need to run through what my Saturday was like before about anything else.
I think
that's
super important.
That's what this podcast is really about.
Can I do mine first? My socks were wet for 9 hours. Continue. You go.
Oh, God. I feel so fucking bad for you.
Thank you.
Buckle up, buddy. So Saturday, the day the New York Rangers were set to play the Florida Panthers,
yep,
was famously a day in which Gina and I were going to two musicals.
Famously. Okay?
Famously. But Boston Mike was also in town, staying at our buddy Vinny's, who is conveniently about 20 minutes away from the two schools that I would be going to see these musicals at.
Okay.
All right. You're with me so far?
So far, yeah. The Rangers won in overtime and shootout. Mika Zibanejad had it for Forsberg. Continue. Go ahead.
People don't care about the Rangers. They care about Greg.
Okay.
So the night before I see Gina, she tells me that Saratoga has a winter storm warning, which in and of itself, fucking ridiculous for March 23rd. Shouldn't be any more winter storm warnings. It is officially spring. Spring on March 21st. This should not be happening. Anyway, She tells me that it might be Harry. She'll keep me posted. I get a phone call at 8:30 in the morning. I shouldn't get phone calls, period. But I get a phone call at 8:30 from the morning. Gina's freaking out. She already has 15 inches of snow. She doesn't think she's going to make the 2 o'clock performance. She'll update me at noon. I say, okay. It is raining in Troy. It's not even snowing, just fucking rain. Snowed a little bit overnight, then it turned to rain. Roads were fine. I drive over to Vinny's for 11 o'clock. We're going to do lunch, watch some basketball, hang out. Gina was going to make a decision. Power goes out at noon from the fucking rain. A tree fell on the power line. So now I'm at Vinny's house with no power. But I tell myself, well, I can't really leave. I have to go to this play with Gina. We're at Gina's. It starts fucking blizzarding. And I'm sorry, we're at Vin's. Starts blizzarding. So I'm now like, well, shit. I don't know. I got to make a decision here. I got to shit or get off the pot. No word. Finally, Gina's like, I can't make it. I go, great. I have no power. My car's snowed in. I can't watch basketball. I'm not going to see musicals. Not even going to be able to watch the Ranger game at this point, probably. What could possibly go wrong? So that was my Saturday. That's really all I have.
Oh, okay. All right, good. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'll give you what you want. That sucks.
Yeah. I finally escaped around 9:30. Saw the Rangers were already losing 2-0. Got home. Where, by the way, while I was sitting at Vin's with no power for 12 hours, had power at my house the entire time.
Is this why you wanted to trade for JD Martinez on Saturday?
Yeah, I was fucking losing it. I was losing it. I was like, I got nothing to do. I might as well do something dumb. But I get home, get home in time. All I'm saying is the Rangers, when I was without power, were down 2-0. The Rangers, when Greg had power, they scored what? 3 goals. They won 3-1 and then won the shootout.
Probably important to say that I've won at a watch party. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
so you. Now we need to figure out, this is important to figure out.
Yep.
Is the venue the right venue, or is it simply you and I can't be in the building at the same time?
I hate that you're thinking this because I had the same thought. I was driving back. I was like, is it Greg and I together? Because that's a problem because we're going to be together for the playoffs.
So T-Squared Social is now 2-0 in the Blue Shirts breakaway era. But it's 2-0 with only one host present.
It's a big test. Whatever the Friday or Saturday, this is what's going to happen. Friday or Saturday, the first round, it's going to be a big test for us.
Mm-hmm.
Huge test.
Yep.
Whatever the schedule is.
And it'll probably dictate what we do moving forward in the future.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Sorry, T-Squared.
We can still keep having watch parties at T-Squared, just not with both of us there. That's fine.
It's separate. We're gonna,
so anyway, the New York Rangers won a couple hockey games, including a game 4-3 in a shootout. Yeah, here's my first note about the Saturday game, because as I was sitting in the dark, freezing my ass off in the middle of a blizzard, I had this thought. I saw on social media a couple places, people were calling it a big game. I disagree. I need to thread this needle pretty carefully here.
Yep, you do.
I don't think there's such a thing as a big game for the Rangers at this point in the season, because it's not like the Rangers are stuck between a rock and a hard place. The Rangers are either going to win the division, hooray, or face an easier first-round opponent, hooray. So it's kind of a can't-lose situation here where, yes, ideally, Ryan, I would like the Rangers to continue to play well. I would like the Rangers to win hockey games. I think that's important for getting ready for the playoffs. But my number one concern at this juncture is I celebrated for the 15 minutes that Vince allowed me to think that Laviolette was continuing to rotate guys in and out of the lineup. And then it turns out, nope, Kako was still playing, and I got a little sad. I don't care about the division at all. This is not a 2022 Mets situation where it's not that the Mets were ever playing poorly, but the Braves were playing so well that the Mets never pulled away, and eventually the Braves won the division. There was a reason why I wanted the Mets to win the division, and it was solely because I didn't want to play in the stupid Fugazi wildcard round, and I didn't want to play the Padres. But this one, it's like either the Rangers continue to play like one of the best teams in hockey, and then I don't really care who I play in the first round. It could be whoever finishes as wildcard 2. It could be whoever finishes wildcard 1. I'm lumping in the Tampa Bay Lightning in this discussion. The Rangers keep playing at this pace, I'm not scared of the Lightning. However, if the Rangers merely play you know, 600 win percentage hockey from here until the end of the year. What do we got? 10 games? If they win, if they go 6-4 in these 10 games, and because they go 6-4 in those 10 games, they lose the division of the Hurricanes. Ryan, I'm still picking shit. Like, I'm good with that. That's cool by me. Congratulations to the Hurricanes. You win some stupid trophy, and the Rangers get the easier first-round opponent. I've already proven time and time again, I don't care if I have to play the Hurricanes in a Game 7 in Carolina. Feel pretty good about it.
Yep.
I'm cool with it, man. So if home ice advantage doesn't matter to me against the Hurricanes, it doesn't. And if the penalty, quote-unquote, of the Rangers not winning the division is I get the Flyers, who at that point, who fucking knows who they're going to be scratching out of their lineup? Ryan, cool with it, man. I'm good. The Rangers should honestly be acting like they've clinched a playoff spot, because they essentially have, and that seeding doesn't matter. And they should be resting guys this entire three-week stretch that we're in. Well, that the only concern, Gustafson's banged up. Cool, man. Take a seat. Brandon Scanlon, you're up. Play four games. Do whatever the fuck you want to do. I don't care. Shoot on quick yourself. Go for it. Football, buddy. Honestly, the number one concern should be rotating guys out of the lineup, not winning a hockey game, not setting the tone. If you need the Rangers to prove you something at this point, you haven't been watching this entire season.
Well, yeah, I have a couple of different things I want to respond with that with is I do agree it wasn't a quote unquote big game. Like, yeah, it was two teams that are quite good and could see each other in the playoffs. That's fun. But you know who had an actual big game this weekend? The Islanders. And you know what they did? They lost.
So did the Devils.
Yeah, they had big games. Those were big games to stay in playoff hunts because their season is over if they don't win. They lost. Those are big games. To your point on what the Rangers have to prove to you, the Rangers have now beaten top teams over and over again. They've beaten the Panthers. They swept the series season versus the Bruins. They have beaten the Lightning, but they obviously the Lightning lost beat them a couple weeks ago. And then they beat the Hurricanes. Like, this is all the last 2 weeks. And they took the Leafs to overtime, by the way, and they lost in a shootout. So they can take all these great teams to whatever length they need to. They can beat them, and I don't know what they need to prove. The last point is this. I was looking at the remainder schedule. This is their last, quote-unquote, light week. There is only three games this week. There's a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Saturday. And the Saturday is, by the way, a back-to-back going into Sunday. Once Sunday gets here, Greg, which, by the way, is, I'm just going to draw a double check here. Yep. Oh, no, they play on Monday, so they do not play. Starting this Saturday, March 30th, because there is a March 31st, turns out, they play every other day until the end of the season.
Which, fine by me, man. Cool. That's what you'll be doing in the playoffs.
Yep. But that means you do, and that's why I kind of liked what Laviolette did, where he was like, look, Will Cooley's sitting. I don't think he did anything wrong. I just want to get guys rested. And I wouldn't be surprised. I know Kako was in the second half of the lineup for practice today. I also wouldn't be surprised if he sat next game, nor would I freak out. So they're going to play every other day. They're going to have to find ways to rest people. Maybe they get Artemi Panarin 50 goals. We'll talk about that. But for the most part, it's every other day to the playoffs, probably like, what, a four-day break, and then start around one.
My honest-to-God critique of practice lines when Vince was like, oh, Kako's not skating, it's that I do want to give Kako a break somewhere in here because he's still coming off an injury. I don't want him to feel taxed going into the playoffs. My only critique is that they should be seeding people in the top six first. Like, I was celebrating that he was taking people out of the lineup. I liked that Will Cooley came out of the lineup. I don't want to hear the bullshit that, oh, he's young, he should have energy. You know, at what point is it he's young, he should have energy, and is it he's young, he's inexperienced? I need him in tip-top shape for the playoffs. He's a very important part of this bottom six. He's an integral, to me, 16-game type player where he's just going to throw his body around like fucking reckless abandon and provide offensive upside the entire time, all while playing on one of the best, most cohesive third lines we've seen the Rangers put together since we've started this podcast almost a fucking
decade. If not the most. If not the most.
Yeah, I like that he got a break. Again, to me, what I would be doing in these final games, I would give Mika a game off and put Wennberg on that line see what would happen if that had to happen in a playoff game. I would give Kreider a game, put Cooley on that line, see what would happen if that happened in a playoff game. I would take out Panarin. I would move Laf back to the left, put Kako on the right, see what that line looks like between Trocheck in a playoff game. I would give fucking Roslovic a game at center. Take Trocheck out of the lineup. See what happens if Kako is back to right wing run and Roslovic is playing second line center between Lafreniere and Panarin. These are the games that you should just be like, fuck this. We're going to the playoffs. We are finishing as a top two seed in the Metro. Let's get fucking weird. See what the hell we have here if weird things happen in the playoffs. As optimistic as I'd like to be, Ryan, odds are the Rangers are going to lose someone in the middle of a playoff series. Happens mm-hmm. every year, happens to every team. The best way to be prepared for that type of scenario is to get fucking weird right now when you have the bodies to do it. You do not want to roll the dice and find out what your lineup looks like if you take Vincent Trocheck out of it in a tie game in the second period of a playoff series in a game that you have to win. You don't want to learn then. Let's learn now. The Rangers are as comfortable as they're going to be in the playoffs. If you are waiting for the Rangers to lock up seeding in order to start this, you will never start this.
No, not this year. Any other year, maybe, but not this year.
The Rangers will not lock up playoff seeding until the last week of the season. Probably, Ryan, until the last game of the season. So I'm not a patient fellow. You know this. Everybody mm-hmm. listening here knows this. The Rangers need to be rotating guys in and out now because game one is more important than game 78. I just don't care if the Rangers don't know if they've won a division at this point. It just doesn't matter when we're talking about whether it's in Carolina for a playoff clinching series game or if it's in New York, because I just don't view Carolina that way. I don't.
I'm the same way. Until they prove it, I have to see it first. And they have shown nothing of that at all. Over the next couple weeks, we have till the season ends on April 15th. So during that time, the Rangers play really one good team, and that's this Thursday versus the Colorado Avalanche. This is not shots at their other, like the Flyers. I think the Flyers are a solid team. I think the Flyers themselves would tell you they're surprised to be where they are right now in the slow race for the Metro.
They sold at the deadline. They made it clear what they wanted to do this
They've been
year.
Benching some of their best players.
They benched their fucking captain.
Yes. So the way I look at this is if the Rangers want one last go at it, saying, let's try and do one more playoff atmosphere, and then let's just try shit like you just said through the rest of the games. It's this Thursday versus the Avalanche. Let's play Nathan McKinnon. Let's take it serious. Let's start Igor. Let's beat Georgiev if he's still playing. Who even knows anymore? And let's just go through all the reps. Everything else, I'm just going to Mike and Mad Dog real quick. It's Flyers, Avalanche, Coyotes, Penguins, Devils out of the playoffs. Red Wings, maybe trying. Canadiens, disaster. Islanders, disaster. Flyers again. Islanders again. Senators. To me, you have one game to really... You've done all the testing you needed to do. You beat the Panthers. You beat the Hurricanes. You had a good game versus the Leafs that was closer than the final score shows. You've beaten all those teams. Now you got one test game left. Everything else, let's just see if you can win it while trying to protect yourself not getting injured.
Can I counterpoint you?
You should.
The Rangers have 98 points through 72 games, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be more advantageous for the Rangers to run out a reserve lineup against the Avalanche and show the cocky bravado being like, we might see this team later in the playoffs. Let's not show them our number one card.
I mean, I would love if I saw the Avalanche in the playoffs.
Yeah. Because
that means I'm in the cup.
Sure does.
So strategically, I would say yes.
Strategically speaking, if we're saying that the Rangers... See, here's the problem. You look at the games as opponent. I look at them as points. So if you're saying the Rangers should trot out a playoff-like lineup against the Avalanche because that will be
a playoff-like game. One more time for the rest of the season.
My counterargument would be the Rangers just went to Boston, dropped their pants, fucking slapped the bare ass of the Bruins.
They
that did. Was a playoff game. They welcomed the Florida Panthers to MSG. That was a playoff game. I just don't think when you have 98 points through 72 games, you need another playoff game to get ready. What you do need is a simulated game. So wouldn't it make more sense to run out your full lineup against a team like the Coyotes, a team you know that your full lineup can just whack and not have to necessarily play 100% full bore in order to get just, you can put your A lineup out against the Coyotes at this time of year, go through the motions and get 2 points. Whereas, do you really want your top guys playing a playoff-like game against the Avalanche this close to the playoffs? Don't you kind of, that game specifically, just want to get through it without anyone getting hurt or overexerting themselves?
9 p.m. start Eastern time.
Yeah, because they're in Colorado, which very nice of them. I'm going to have to watch the opening day for the Mets. I'm going to need 4 hours to come down from that and whatever batshit takes I will have. Lord knows I'll have them. So if you want to talk weird Mets shit, we got some weird Mets shit topics to talk about.
We'll talk about it at the end.
Yeah, whatever.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry. Well, Fitz on too. We can talk about it with him.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about with Fitz. The fucking, our arch, well, you didn't care about Marist Sports, which is a fucking crime. But our arch rival just hired my childhood arch rival to be their head basketball coach.
That seems like a disaster. I have no idea what's happening. So
yeah,
Siena,
if I could get Chase Utley on the Siena campus, I could just burn it all down at the same time.
Just two for one. Yeah, but looking at it, you're right. Like maybe, I don't know if you're fully right. I would like to go give it one more go against the Avalanche and just move on.
I just don't think you need to. You have 98 points through 72 games. Like, your team has proven, specifically this week, a week in which they played the Jets, the Panthers, and the Bruins, that not only can they compete at a high-quality level, they can fucking win.
Good
they
versus all of them, too,
behind
to the
do it, too.
Yep, good versus all of them.
I don't know if I need one more game to be like, well, I need to know for sure.
Hey, there's one more factor in this. Trouba, I think his expected return date is probably next week. He's not playing this week.
His expected return date should be game one. If you want to give him one, two, or three games before that,
yeah,
like if you
want
him to play games 79, 80, and 81, I will give him that. Same
don't
thing
you
with
just think they don't, they like don't do shit from April 11th to 15th? Like, don't you think they just don't do anything? Or do you think they're just going for it?
We know the NHL, okay? You and I both know that while we think the right course for the New York Rangers would be for them to take their foot off the gas, just play out the string. Don't pack it in. Don't rest on your laurels. Keep grinding with the players you run out there every night, but stop running out all your players there every night. We know how that's you and I thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We also know the New York Rangers are not going to stop until they have seating locked up. It simply is not how the NHL operates. They view these games differently. Laviolette said it jokingly, but he's not wrong. He wants to win every game between now and the playoffs. Yes, he will. That's why he's rotating his bottom six, and I accept that. Because he feels like he has bottom six players he can rotate in and out of his lineup, and it's more beneficial for him to keep guys healthy than it is for his bottom six to play static. But if he was truly thinking ahead towards the playoffs, he'd be resting Mika and Kreider and Panarin and Lafreniere and Trocheck, and he'd be getting all those guys a game. He's not talking about those guys. He's never talked about those guys. I don't expect him to start talking about those guys. Because he feels his top six is good enough to win hockey games if he rotates his bottom six. And it's not that he's wrong. It's just like he's only getting half the question correct by doing that. So I just don't see a scenario in which Laviolette, without the Rangers having locked in playoff positioning, I don't see a scenario where he actually gives his top guns a rest unless they are hurt in any capacity. And that's like do I think he wants to keep Zach Jones in the lineup this long? I know we're going to have a lot of questions about Zach Jones coming up. I think he'd prefer to have Trouba and Lindgren playing. And he's happy that Jones is playing as well as he's playing. But his ideal scenario would not be to have Zach Jones in the lineup tomorrow night or tonight, depending on when you listen to this. His ideal scenario would be to have Lindgren and Trouba. And you know how we know that? Because for some ungodly reason, they're letting Lindgren skate already.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, just fucking stop. Like,
he's a non-contact. It makes no sense.
Ryan Lindgren has proven that he's like, he's injury-proof. I get it. I accept that. The New York Rangers at some point have to be like, hey, buddy, listen. Fantastic, you're making a speedy of a recovery. How about you fucking don't?
Yeah, we watched you get hurt. And I know you probably took out the Wolverine claws and stabbed all our medical doctors, but you probably should just chill for a couple days. Maybe just chill.
Like, just keep skating on your own for 10 more days.
But also, Zach Jones has been amazing.
Yes.
He's so good.
But that's what I'm saying, Ryan. If there was ever a scenario where the Rangers could go to Ryan Lindgren and be like, hey, man, fuck off. Just for 2 weeks. I don't care if you're healthy. Congratulations. You've proven once again that you're the Iron Man of the NHL. We are so happy to have you. Fuck off for 2 weeks. Zach Jones is playing so well. You do not have to rush back. Go away. And
also,
he's
Miller
like,
Schneider has been electric.
Rueda's been good.
I know.
Everyone the Rangers have put in the lineup has been good, which is why this is great that they have so much depth. That's why it's so fucking weird.
Shout out to Chris Drury, man. Like, unbelievable job yet again.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, if that pole needs waxing, you are here for it, man.
I am.
Lindgren should have had his skates taken away from him for 2 weeks. Two full weeks. Like, Kodai Senga, the Mets haven't even played a game yet, and the Mets are like, you know what, fuck it, we're just not going to have Senga pitch until May. We'll figure out April. We'll survive. We're going to make this work. He'll come back in May when the games start mattering a little bit more, and we'll go from there. We'll have him ready for September. The Rangers, playing great hockey, without Amazing. Ryan Lindgren in their lineup, they couldn't just tell Lindgren to literally go watch a fucking movie for 2 weeks?
Hey, don't you want to just relax? Do you remember the Pittsburgh series where you got hurt the game before?
And Ryan, have you ever been to Cuba? Have you ever seen a beach in Cuba? Would you like to? We'll fly you there ourselves. Just go to Cuba for 10 days. You'll come back, you'll feel great, and you'll be ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, we got it, buddy. We'll take care of it. Any other topic before we get to our friend Fitz?
Ranger related?
Yes. Because I'm sure Fitz will do everything.
All right, Ranger related. How many hockey games do you think Shohei Ohtani has bet on in his life?
Over under 11 and a half.
Oh, we could do a betting line on the betting line?
I think so. I think I would take the over. One of my favorite things has been the Shohei Ohtani being like, I don't really care about other sports, and then pictures of him at basketball games.
Yeah. The meme I saw today of like, it was a picture taken where he was at a March Madness game involving like Gonzaga and some other opponent.
Yep.
And someone found the picture and goes, I know a man sweating out a 6-game parlay. I know the look in his eyes, and this is that look. And I was like, he ain't fucking wrong.
Well, he's doing his press conference, I think, right now.
He was supposed to do it at 2:45.
Okay, so 15 minutes from now. Okay. All right, well, we'll stay tuned for that. God, the Ohtani stuff is crazy. All right, we'll be right back with our friend Fitz, but first a word from our sponsors, Transition. Hey, yo, and Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by our official ticket sponsor all year long. That is right, it's TickPick. You know the deal already. You've been listening to this show throughout this entire New York Rangers season, and if you want to go to one of the last Ranger games, you should use TickPick because it's so easy to use. Not only that, it tracks the prices. Maybe you want to get last-minute tickets. Maybe you want to see prices with before checking out because sometimes you check out on other websites and there's extra price, but where did that come from? Price you see is the price you get on TickPick, hashtag no fees. And today, if you want to get $15 off any order over $99, you can use promo code BLUESHIRTS15 on checkout and you get $15 off. Go to a Ranger game. If you want to go to the playoffs, which we'll be talking about, TickPick can also help you with that. Want to go to WrestleMania? I bought my tickets through TickPick. Just that easy. So use the promo code BLUESHIRTS15 when you check out. Tell them we sent you. TickPick, the official ticket sponsor of Blue Shirts Breakaway.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, we're back with our dear friend Fitz, who's been on the show, I don't know, 26,000 times. Fitz, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Let's start with a question I've been struggling with recently. Twofold. One, I hate how much I like LaViolette. Two, I hate how much I believe in this team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Peter LaViolette's been pretty fun so far. I mean, I think I was with you guys where everyone was kind of like indifferent when they hired him. But, I mean, considering what he replaced, I guess...
We don't talk about him.
I guess you can consider that what he did coaching, apparently, allegedly. Jesus Christ. He's been fine. I like LaViolette so far. I mean, he hasn't done anything that really, like, annoys me. I like how he switches guys in and out of the lineup. I know, like, the Will Cooley thing was, like, a huge... Everyone like lost their minds for a couple hours about that. Yeah, exactly. Kid, it's his first time ever playing a full season. Give him a break. They need him in 2.5-3 weeks when the real season begins. So, yeah, I mean, I have no problems with LaViolette at all. I like the rest of the staff too. It seems like they're like very hands on. I want to say, like, in terms of like game planning and like getting guys to do little things right. I mean, like Phil Housley. That guy Dan Muse is terrifying to look at, but he seems like a good coach.
He's a good dude, yeah.
Yeah, Pekka seems like he's a pretty good guy.
Not terrifying to look at, by the way, Michael Pekka. Just throw that out there.
Yeah,
so.
He's got like the perfectly sculpted beard and everything. And then obviously, like, they still have Benoit Allaire.
Seems good.
He's like the best coach, I think, maybe outside of the Spurs, like shooting coach, best like assistant coach in sports history, maybe. And yeah, for part two, I believe in this team too, because I know this is going to end up in, there's only one team that wins the cup, and I was just so wide open this year that it's like hard to talk yourself out of anyone. But, you know, I've seen the story play out 100 times when I get excited for this team, and then they rip my heart out in heartbreaking fashion in usually middle of May when it's the second or third.
Fitz, obviously a topic Ryan and I have been talking about for multiple weeks, but a topic we've gotten into deeper today. What would you rank as the most important items on the Rangers list between now and game one in the middle of April? What do you hope the Rangers do? What do you want the Rangers to do? Is there something the Rangers could do that will disappoint you?
Not really anything that would disappoint me. Obviously, like, I just want everyone to kind of stay healthy. Actually, this is the one thing I want to see them do. I want when Truba and Lindgren to come back for Braden Schneider and Keandre Miller to stay at Barron. I don't know how. I don't know.
Let's go. Let's go.
What's going to lead to that? But that's the one thing I wish I wanted to see, because I've just, like, loved the way those two guys play together. I was like, obviously listening to last week's episodes, like, Greg, I'm kind of with you on the whole Ryan Lindgren thing. We're like, losing him didn't really like freak me out like it has in the past, just because I don't think he's been as good as he has been in the past this year. Like, honestly, I just want to see Zach Jones play more. I owe Zach Jones an apology. I wasn't very familiar with his game, so he's been very good, and like, he's been very, like, eye opening how well he's played over the last few weeks. So I want to see more of Zach Jones. I want to see Schneider and Miller together. I like to see, this is one of the things I forgot to mention, what I like about Lobby Led is like just keep tinkering with line combinations and pairings and stuff like this. So when someone inevitably gets hurt in the playoffs, you don't have to be like Gerard Gallant where he's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I haven't changed, you know, what I do with the lines in 7.5 weeks. I never wanted to experiment with Lafreniere.
I've told them to play harder for the last 72 weeks. And why aren't they playing harder?
You're like, oh my God, my top four defenseman's down. Like, let me just tell the other three guys they have to play harder now. But yeah, like just tinkering with stuff like that, just like getting ready for the playoffs essentially, because like someone's going to get hurt at some point and they're going to have to go to some other line combinations to like have things ready to go. So for me, that's what I kind of want to see for the next few weeks. The rest really like Igor seems like he's ready to rock. You know, the Panarin Trocheck, the Panarin looks amazing right now. Lafreniere's been playing great. I love that third line with Wenberg and insert forward X next to them. So, like, I'm pretty much ready to rock. Hell, actually, you know what I want to see? I want to see Matt Rempe play 6 games without getting ejected. That's one thing I want to see.
Pretty good.
Can I just, Ryan, before you tag in with a new question, last week, I got, as soon as the podcast went up, at least 6 different text messages from people, Ryan included, where all they said was, ooh, they're going to flame you for that Lindgren take. I want to tell you I got 0 flames for my Lindgren take.
I think, like, most people shouldn't be – I mean, like, I don't – like, I like Ryan Lindgren. Like, I love the way – you know, I respect the way he plays. But, like, to say he hasn't been that great this year, I feel like isn't, like, is a crazy take. You know what I mean?
Well, I think we're moving into an era – remember, there was a solid year where you could go on Twitter and find someone saying – every player is a problem. Just that, like, mandate where, like, ooh, Bryant Reeves is a problem. And that's just something that would be on the internet. I do think we're moving there with they're going to flame you for this one if you just say fucking anything, even if it's true. But I just want the world to know that if you wanted to flame me for my Ryan Lindgren take, you did a bad job. I felt no heat.
Yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't a hot take, you know. I think most people kind of agree with that. I mean, like, you obviously have the old people who are like, yeah, but like he's the heart and soul, and like he's all this other stuff that has literally zero to do with what's actually happening when they're playing the game of hockey. So I don't know. I thought it was correct. I think it's fine. I mean, I'm excited to see Fox play with Jones for a couple games here because I know that's what like. I think Vince tweeted it out today that like that's going to be the pairing for the next couple games while Gustafson's out as well because I'm not expecting to see Gustafson for a while because he got
his bell rung hard.
Yeah, that's why I love how like everyone I was like following along with that game on Twitter on Saturday night and everyone was talking about like the wild secret sequence that like you know they kept the Trocheck and puck out of the net and I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking like. Is no one going to talk about how Eric Gustafson is just lying motionless on the ice right now? I'm kidding.
He's also got up and did a 1,000-yard stare as like he didn't know where he was. Someone said to me at the watch party, he's skating with the lights off.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He was like, I've been a hockey player before. That guy's skating with the lights off. I was like, oh, cool.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So Gustafson, we might add seats to the playoffs if that. Which brings me to kind of when you said like let's keep Miller and Schneider together, and I agree. I have no idea. Like Lindgren, Fox, Miller, Schneider, Trouba, Ruedel.
Well, can I give a pitch a theory on why I think Schneider Miller is working so well?
Yeah, please.
I almost think it's a scenario where you put two guys together who feel each player feels like they have to carry the load. On that defensive pairing, Keandre Miller feels like he has to make up for Trouba not being on the ice and that Braden Schneider, not that he's a lesser player, but is a younger, inexperienced player. So Keandre feels like he has to carry the load and wants to do more with Schneider as his pair. Whereas Schneider feels like he's not Jacob Trouba and that the team expects Jacob Trouba to do X, Y, and Z. Whether you think he does it or not, that's not the point I'm making. Schneider feels like he's got huge skates to fill, so he feels like he has to do more than he would do if he was playing with Eric Gustafson in a pairing that worked perfectly fine. So I think you get this perfect scenario where two skilled hockey players both feel like they have to take their games to another level in order to meet the needs of the person they are playing with. and it's just resulting in great hockey.
Yeah, I like that theory. I'm with it. Well done. Well done there, Greg. Yeah, I'm just very much enjoying watching them play. I think Keandre obviously has had like a pretty up and down season, but I think for, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, he's been playing really well. Probably the best he's looked since second half of 2022, where he like really, really took off into the playoffs there, where he was like, in my opinion, their best defenseman for like a 3 month stretch before the playoffs started. Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I know it's not going to happen. I know it's going to go right back to being Trevor Miller once he gets back. So it's obviously, like, I hope we see it, but I'd put it at like a 10% chance that we actually do see it.
Where are you with the who finishes with more points, Artemi Panarin or the New York Rangers bet?
What's going on? Is he at 100 yet?
I think he's at 99. I'm going to double check right now. I think 100 would have been a big deal, and they would have social media would have been everywhere with that.
Put him above Zach Hyman in the UFA signing right
this. That was one of the most atrocious things I've ever read. So
that was made me feel good when I was reading the quote tweets and replies where like non-Ranger fans were like, "Yeah, this is fucking stupid, dude." Like,
I can't believe how disrespected Artemi Panarin is. By the way, he's at 99 points currently.
So, and the Rangers have 98.
Yes, that is correct.
I think he's going to finish with more. To be
me
honest,
me too. Me
he's
too.
Been so good this year, man. I really hope he carries it over into the playoffs because like I don't want this season to be like lost to. He didn't do it again in the playoffs. Like, he makes $11.5 million. They got to trade him. Like, imagine how fucking stupid you got to feel after saying that last year. Imagine where the team would be right now if they didn't have him.
No way. The Trocheck Panarin Lafreniere line is as electric as it comes. The passes they're making cross ice.
It has carried them offensively for the entire season. The entire season.
Trocheck, by the way, is ridiculous.
He's good, man. Like, I didn't like when they signed Trocheck. I didn't like it because I wanted Hedl to have the 2C spot after the playoff run he had, and also that Trocheck just fucking annoyed me on the Hurricanes when they would play against him. Like, he was just his face annoyed. Now he's that guy you hate when he's not on your team and you love him when he's on yours. You know, it's like, but he also like got a lot more to his bag than I gave him credit for. Still drives me crazy when he takes some dumbass offensive zone penalties sometimes.
Which he loves to do. He does.
He's been shy, the Benoit Pouliot like all over again when he does that shit. But he also was randomly at like the mall in my hometown on Sunday. My dad texted me about it. he was like, "Yeah, I saw some old timer decked out in Rangers gear." I was like, "You're 62 years old. Who are you calling an old timer?"
This is insane.
He's like, "Yeah, Trocheck was at the JV Mall." I was like, "I didn't even know the JV Mall was still open." Or why he's spending his off day there, but that's just like a whole nother story. I'm a big Trocheck. Trocheck, I love him. He's been great. He's a bargain, honestly, at what they got. What does he make? $4.5 million a year?
I think it's 5.5.
Yeah, I think it's like 5.7.
I'll double check, but it's somewhere around there. It's still a bargain comparatively.
Yeah.
If he plays like this the next 3 years, it's unbelievable. He's actually done more with his game offensively and defensively than I thought he had in him. Yeah. I thought he was always like a pest, like a rat, but the ability to play with Panarin and Lafreniere and create that high level of offense, which, by the way, Lafreniere has figured out, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I mean, no shit, man. Like, this is another one of my favorite things is the dumbass preseason takes with the softball thing, or that, like, the morons who were like, I'll never forget the Twitter prompt, and I'm not going to give the guy even say his name because just to test him and everything he stands for, but he was like, "Who's more brutal to watch, Zach Wilson or Alexi Lafreniere?" And it was like,
not even close, bro. Was never close.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever read in my entire life. And there were people in the replies, unironically, saying that Lafreniere was tougher to watch than Zach Wilson. And I couldn't. To this day, it's still one of the most.
Dude, have they ever watched Zach Wilson?
The guy had one good game in his 30-plus starts in the NFL, and it's like...
Did he even have one good game? When did he have a good game?
He played well against the Chiefs. Actually, I'll give him 1.5. He played well against the Chiefs, and he played well against the Texans. It's like the only game he ever threw for over 300 yards.
Very cool!
Yeah, sick. And then, like, Alexi Lafreniere has been, like, a half a point per game player, despite... the former coach trying to turn him into, like, I don't know, Barclay fucking Goodrow or something.
Get out there and retrieve that puck, Alexi Lafreniere. Hey, coach, yeah. I'm actually one of the most prolific passers in the NHL. Yeah, but what about the toughness? Yes.
Can you go out there? Can you be tough to play against, Alexi? I don't care about that offense stuff that you were drafted number one overall for. Can you play more like Barclay Goodrow?
Yeah. Ooh. Barclay Goodrow also taken not a back seat this year, but his time has been diminished. So it's another step
player.
Yes. Well, look, I think Repi's also sort of rejuvenated him in a weird way. It's like, hey, I got this guy. I don't need to fight all the time. This guy's going to fight. That's great.
Yeah. I'm just going to loft the puck into the corner, and this 6'8" behemoth is either going to run some guy through the boards, get ejected, or get into a fight. It's like,
That's the three outcomes
with Matt Repi.
I don't want to ever come off as a Barclay Goodrow apologist, and I apologize if anyone ever thinks I do. At the same time, everyone that's given him shit for his play this season, the man played 2 months only being able to eat through a straw. Why was he even fucking playing? Like, I get it. He's had a bad year, but I don't know if you're allowed, if your body can recover from those 2 months where you're playing fucking hockey while unable to chew your food. It just doesn't seem like a good combination.
Yeah, remember when Stepan did that in the playoffs?
Yeah, he broke his jaw and did it right away.
And was just on the smoothie diet for like 3 weeks while they were playing their most important hockey in 20 years.
Remember when Ryan McDonough was like, I can play 28 minutes a night on a broken foot?
that post-game press conference with Vigneault after they lost that game 7 when they did the 11-7, it was like, yeah, the freezing effect on his foot didn't take place in time. It didn't like take hold in time.
Like, excuse me? I'm like yeah, we need to make his foot an ice block to get it into the boot. Like, oh,
stupid. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the Panthers last year, right? They got to the Golden Knights, but to get there they had multiple broken sternums. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like if Brady Tkachuk is responsible for getting a player on your team dressed, I don't know. Maybe it just isn't going to happen that year.
I got flamed for saying that the Panthers medical staff should be fired.
They should have been.
Ended
his career forever.
Career could have ended his life.
Yeah, same thing. Oh man, let's stick on. Unless there's another Ranger topic you wanted to go to, Fitz, let me know. But in the Metro, are you surprised how much of a disaster it is?
No, I think all these teams are. The Devils are just a shocking disappointment of how much they suck. I mean, they're really terrible. The Islanders are a fucking joke. The Capitals, I wasn't expecting anything from. The Penguins, I never thought were going to be good this year. I guess the Flyers, I thought it was going to be the Rangers, Hurricanes, and the Devils, to be honest. And that was going to be all legit from that division. Whatever blood magic Torts has working over in Philly is just incredible. I can't believe they're still holding on to a playoff spot. With a -8 goal differential. Oh my god, I'm just looking at the standings right now. Yeah, this division is fucking trash.
It's absolutely brutal.
Holy shit. I'm looking at the goal differentials. It's the Rangers have 40 plus 46, the Hurricanes are plus 52. You ready for the rest of the teams?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Flyers -8, Caps -27, Islanders -27, Devils -9, Penguins -8, Blue Jackets -55.
Woo! John Davidson, hell yeah.
Yeah, ushering in that new era of Blue Jackets hockey.
Thank you, Johnny Hockey. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's an absolute disaster, dude. It's as bad as it could be. And it makes me feel pretty good about the years to come. Like, yeah, I'm only focused on this year. The goal is to get the cup. But if the division is going to be this bad for a while, it's not like this Ranger core is going to get that much worse.
Yeah, I guess so. But it is concerning they only have 3 forwards under the age of 30.
That is look good, Matt. Good yeah. Job by you.
And like one of them, we don't know if he's going to be back or when he'll be back, like in Hedl next year.
Yep.
I honestly just kind of miss watching Philip Hedl play. I'm going to be honest. That's like the one damper on the season is that he hasn't been part of this.
Yeah, it does suck. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Like, no one's going to know until next September, right? Like, we're probably going to start hearing the whispers in August, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And, like, I was just so excited for him to finally, like, get the chance to run with the 2C spot. And, like, again, Trocheck's been great. That's why you have him. But yeah, it sucks. It's shitty that he like hasn't been a part of this team, because like I just admire like the career arc he's gone on so far. That he's the third longest tenured Ranger. Like, he's played for like four different coaches. He was here when AV was here, you know.
That's insane.
With AV as the coach. Yeah, I know, it's nuts to think about. But yeah, that's like the only damper to me on this season. I guess that like I kind of like Jonathan Quick now. He's the other one. I wasn't really expecting that. I didn't really want to, but he's been so freaking good that it's hard to.
Fitz, let's play this game. It's a game Ryan and I have played multiple times, either with guests or with people asking us through 5-star questions. What has to happen this year for you to feel like, all right, this was a successful season? Just how far do the Rangers have to go?
Well, we have to at least make it to the conference final, in my opinion. Last year was an abject failure that they lost in the first round. I don't think this year will be anything less than making round three is a failure to me. I don't. Do you guys agree?
Yeah. I've been firmly, they need to be one of the last four teams standing.
Yeah, that's like the only thing that would be acceptable to me. And then like you go another, I don't know, like none of these teams in the East scare me. You know what I mean? Like I'm not, the Bruins are fraudulent like they are.
What about
the
Lightning? Your thoughts?
Yeah, the Lightning remind me of like that team you had to finally kill. You know what I mean? It's like they're going to make the playoffs, right? Like there's going to be five teams from the Atlantic that make it. So
not necessarily. The Red Wings are trying very hard to not win that second wild card. Very hard.
I don't think anybody wants to win the second wild card. You got Torch scratching his captain to like, I mean, well, like
now hold on. The Flyers don't want the third spot in the Metro. Forget about the second wild card.
Yeah. That's like, a good point.
The Flyers are doing everything in their fucking power to play golf this summer. That's what they want. They want to play on Pebble Beach. That is what's on the Flyers' mind.
The Capitals have two games in hand, so they're coming back.
I didn't realize the Lightning had like pushed the distance between themselves and the Red Wings so much the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they decided like, oh yeah, we have to play hockey again. Ah, damn.
Yeah, Nikita Kucherov just was like, wow, all of a sudden my hip feels good and we're ready to go.
So healthy. That's so weird.
Wow, the Sabres are in here too. Wow, I really haven't been paying attention to the rest of the league as much as I thought.
The Eastern Conference is a disaster.
it's really just a bunch of mid all around.
It's so bad. Whereas, like, I feel like in the West, you kind of know who's good. Somehow the Predators are one of those teams. Don't ask me how. But there's 8 good teams in the West, and that's kind of it.
How funny would it be if the Golden Knights somehow missed the playoffs after all that whining everyone did at the trade deadline?
There's no way.
There's still a chance. I mean, they're only 4 points ahead of the Blues for the last wild card spot.
I guess you're right.
Here's a question. Did James Dolan inadvertently save the Nashville Predators season?
Why? Because, not trading the first round pick?
No, the whole Predators season flipped when the Burnett didn't allow the team to go to the U2 concert at the Sphere in Vegas.
That's Oh, but that is he gonna? He's not gonna win Coach of the Year, but he should. It's ridiculous that he's not going to.
He should win Coach of the Year because the Predators have done this big, huge bounce back, and the Devils are an abject failure. Like that, yes, he is. He has lifted up one organization, and his presence not being at the other organization tanked that organization.
Yeah, but he doesn't coach in Canada, so it's like he doesn't exist. So Rick Tocchet's already got that locked down. It seems like. Can I just get – this has been bothering me for so many weeks since the trade deadline. I need to get this off my chest.
Go ahead.
I was watching the TSN trade deadline show, and they had a segment on which team has been the biggest disappointment this year. And they were talking about the Ottawa Senators being the biggest disappointment in the entire NHL.
Get out of here.
So I think it was like their panel of like 75 people that they just rotate in and out throughout the day. Most of them said the Senators. A couple said the Penguins. And then Mike Johnson, shout out to Mike Johnson. He was the only one with a single sane thought that entire show. He was like, you guys are all idiots. Like, it's very clearly the New Jersey Devils, who we thought were going to be a cup contender and are not going to make the playoffs. And I was just sitting there being like, how crazy is it that this guy's the only one with any semblance of a brain? And the rest of these guys are all like, yeah, the Ottawa Senators, who have, I don't think, made the playoffs since 2017, haven't even really been close to making the playoffs in these last few years, are the biggest disappointment in the entire National Hockey League.
Guys, the season preview was like, the Devils are here. The dynasty starts now.
They were top five in cup odds to win the cup.
I said multiple places, multiple times, that all the Devils had to do was trade for a goalie, and I was prepared to give them the Stanley Cup in August. I was ready to hand it to them, call it a day, didn't even have to play the season. I was good.
Money on Jack Hughes to win the Hart. Are you kidding me?
I've never been on a baseball game in my life. So anyway.
Oh boy. That press conference is starting, isn't it?
Oh, it's over. It's over. Yep. You'll be happy to know he's never been on sports or baseball or any sport in his life, and he's been lied to this entire time.
Same.
That's good.
Same. The version of the Ohtani story where learning language is fucking hard. I get it. I'm huge C-minus student in French. I didn't want to. I didn't care. I really just Google translated my way through fucking high school kids got it so easy this year. I could write a whole fucking paper in French now, but I will never get that opportunity because I grew up back in the fucking Stone Ages. Anyway,
Craig.
Ohtani not learning enough English for this interpreter to be like, oh man, you're not going to believe what happened today. I had to send someone on your behalf $500,000 just because you ordered a lot of flowers. It's crazy. It's nuts. Who knew?
I will say it's funny. Like, you know how like we all say Panarin definitely knows more English than he
speaks fluent English, period.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Ohtani. I think he speaks fluent English yet by this point.
He can speak it. I feel pretty strongly. It's pretty prevalent in Japanese culture as well, in case anybody was wondering. Not that I speak Japanese at all. A little bit, very little. Arigato gozaimasu. But that's it.
Is this because you've been watching? Have you been watching Shogun?
I have not watched Shogun yet. I watch a lot of sumo, but yeah.
You should watch Shogun. Great show.
Fitz, I've been watching nothing but Tokyo Vice and Shogun the last month. I'm pretty sure I can move to Tokyo. Like, I got this. I think I could handle it.
It's really nice.
The guy who plays John Blackthorne is like maybe one of my favorite actors ever. Every scene he's in, he just cracks me up. It's the way he talks.
He's so good. Ryan, you honestly do need to check out the show. It's immaculate.
Okay. I will watch Hogan. It's been on my list. It's number one up there.
It's only, what, five episodes in, Fitz?
Yeah, I think it's only going to be one season, too, I saw.
Oh, yes.
That's amazing. That's a great thing.
Standalone television. Give me more of it.
You're out on connected universes?
No.
I'm out on Marvel. That's for sure.
Yeah, speaking of things that are only one season you guys should watch, just prepare yourself for Quiet on the Set, but you need to watch this Nickelodeon documentary on HBO.
Yeah, it's brutal, right?
It's on the list.
It's hard to get through for specifically – I would say our age, Ryan, fits to your age, because I think you're, like six years younger than us?
Not to dox you, but not to dox you.
I'm 29 now, so yeah.
That is sadly 6 years younger. Old Ryan man. And I are turning 35, yeah. Homeboy.
Do you remember when I first started coming on this, and I was like just a young, chipper kid?
A good lad, yeah.
And now I'm like, life is over, and I don't want to do anything anymore.
Every day that goes by, I think more about that tweet that's like...
The rain one?
No, random person. I'm 35. I have my entire life ahead of me. And then it's sports TV announcer. Here he is, oldest player in the league, 32. Might as well be dead. I think about that tweet all the time.
It's every single day. Literally every single day.
It's unbelievable. Before we end this little segment here, Fitz, any Mets thoughts going into the season?
Who's the opening day starter, Greg? Is it Jose Quintana?
Oh, it sure is, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on this upcoming Mets season.
And that's talking Mets.
No, I do want to touch on this because, man, I'm sure, Fitz, you saw it too. Everyone got so excited when they signed J.D. Martinez.
They're like,
this is it. This is the bat we needed. We're going to be playoff contenders. And I was like, Adrian Hauser is starting game four. He's on this team. He needs to pitch 33 games.
I'll tell you what, yes run first inning for the Mets this year is going to be the best bet in baseball.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the nice thing about this Mets – well, I think the bad thing about this Mets season and the bad thing about the Mets season last year too is I had to go through that entire year without being able to bet under the runs in the first five innings of a Jacob deGrom start. Having that bet ripped from me is unfortunate.
You're telling me. I can't even bet on the Warriors anymore. It's just like they lose by 40 to freaking the Pacers every other night, it seems like.
Warriors are dead.
That's for sure.
It's over.
Can I tell you, you've been kept up to speed a few times on the Dynasty Basketball League that Ryan and I are in.
Yes.
Basketball?
I want you to fucking know, Fitz, that I lost in the first round of the playoffs, not because I didn't have Joel Embiid, not because I didn't have any other injured player, but because your fucking pissant, selfish Warriors got absolutely backdoor blown out by the Celtics and were down 50 at halftime. And I lost points by 20 because Steph Curry didn't play anymore because he was too busy taking it at the butt from the Celtics. That's on you, homeboy.
Do you remember, the first time I think I came on this season was maybe like 5 or 6 games when they were like 5-1. And I was like, yeah, I'm so in on the Chris Paul experience now. Like, I'm back in. Yeah, that was the dumbest thing I think I've ever said. And
that was a bad one.
They're so bad, man. It's like hard to watch. It reminds me of watching the first couple David Quinn years post letter, where it was like just watching Henrik Lundqvist, like, the twilight of his career just slip away as he's watching Brendan Smith and Connor Brickley play forward. That's how I feel watching the Warriors the past 2 seasons.
They're like, Hank's like, we're doing what? Brendan Smith?
I'm like, oh my God, that's Dario Saric and Chris Paul running a 2-man game while Steph is standing on the corner in the corner. God, it's so bad. It's so bad. At least the Knicks are good.
Well, that was going to be my final question for you, Fitz. Just how dark is this city going to get if both the Knicks and the Rangers fall out early in the playoffs?
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath. If they both lose in the first round somehow, it would be so bad.
The Mets, I hate to break it to Met fans, are probably not going to be good.
The Mets are going to win 84 games.
Yeah.
They're going to win 84 games and maybe get the second wild card.
And you know what, Fitz? I'd love that because their over-under is 81.5, and I know where mine and Otani's money is. It's on the over.
I just want to watch Alvarez. That's really the only reason I want to watch the Mets this year.
Well, you'll get a top 70 prospect for J.D. Martinez. Like, that's going to be good. Don't worry about that.
Or Jared Maybe Kelnick. Who knows?
Hey, yeah, that's the trade we made.
That guy stinks, huh?
Yep, I traded for him.
Ryan, I had at least three. I was sitting with Vin when the trade happened. Kyle immediately messaged me. And Valley messaged me going, what does Ryan see in Kelnick? What's going on here? You know he's not even playing every day?
I'll tell you exactly what I see. The Braves traded for him. That's as far as I was going to go.
Ryan, they traded for him, and then after 3 weeks in spring training, they said, oh, fuck, we better sign Adam Duvall.
Yep. I just don't think I was getting a better wild card than that. I was going to take a lottery ticket. No, that's going
to
be it.
Yeah, I don't think you got a wild card is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, God. Push notification from The Athletic. Yager bobbleheads have been located. Thank God.
Oh, they've been located because they've been in the same fucking warehouse this entire goddamn time.
Amazing. Fitz, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say the first thing, I just opened my phone on my Instagram, and the first thing I saw was Zach Hyman's goal map is hilarious. And it's just all
35 goal mount, like in front of the net goals, right?
Yep, literally, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's just Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider did it first.
The amount of, man, when he scored number 50, I get that I follow a lot of Canadian hockey media personalities, but I don't know. It felt icky when they were saying, like, Mazel Tov. It's like, I can say that. That's my people. I don't know if you can say that.
I just can't wait for every Canadian team to be out by the conference finals again. And then there's like a team from Florida, a team from, I don't know, maybe Baton Rouge in a couple of years once they expand again. That'll win a cup before any Canadian team does again. It's going to bring me so much joy.
It's going to be the best. Fitz, thank you so much as always for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
And we're back. Thanks to our dear friend Fitz for joining us. So 5 stars, or do you want to do Mets talk? What else? What else we gonna do?
I feel like 5 stars first because people don't, you know, there's gonna be a new Back in the New York Groove before Thursday.
That's for sure.
Do 5 stars, then we'll do Mets, then we'll get the fuck out of here.
5-star question. If you want to leave a 5-star question, you can go to our Patreon, become a subscriber, leave a question on our Discord channel.
People got real crotchety at me last week because I was in a mood.
For what? People yelling at you?
Yeah, they're like, oh, make people pay for your podcast, then you're going to give them gruff for your fucking questions?
Oh, for the questions?
Yeah, some fucking...
No, it's Mike Francesa, bro. It's like, this is how this works. Like, yeah, it's okay.
Also, this is me. I'm sorry. Would you like me to pretend to be somebody else?
What I always say is, like, whenever anyone asks me any question about Greg, I go, he's not playing a character. It's literally him. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah.
You get both of us as us. That's what it is.
Yep.
Anyway, this is from Pikate. And it is a Pikachu icon. Okay, now what do you think the odds that Panarin scores 50 this season are? You said 30% last week. I'm thinking 50% chance.
What is he at now? Is he at like 42?
I believe it's 44. Let me just double check. I just had his stats up just a second ago, of course. Didn't he score? He scored two.
Well, he scored a hat trick.
Yeah, and he also scored two in Florida, I believe, or one in Florida. God damn it. Where are his stats? Sorry, everybody. Really good podcasting right now. I think I should know Artemi Panarin's stats off the top. Oh, this is Artemi Panarin agrees to a 7-year deal. Great. Awesome.
Here we go. Artemi Panarin's stats. He's got 43 this year.
Okay. That's close.
And there are 10 games left.
Probably not going to play in one.
7 in 10. Right. Yep. We hope he doesn't play in one.
Yep.
I'm going to stick to my 30%. I'm sticking to it.
Stick to my guns. It's from AZK. If Kreider was a wrestler, what would his finisher be? And Torben has seen something like the triple moonsault or a simple elbow to the head.
I feel like his finisher would be the finger poke of doom, but it would actually hurt you when he does it.
I think, you ever see like figure skating where they hold somebody up and then they twirl them in the air, and then but instead he would just drop them.
So he would do essentially like a 720 RKO.
Correct.
You got to get up to speed on your finishers, man. You're going to WrestleMania in two weeks.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I've been watching a lot of Raw. It's been
you
amazing.
Said you've been going. You're going Saturday.
I'm going Saturday. That's
so
correct.
You're getting the tag match.
I am. Which
that's
I'm
not
thrilled.
Bad.
I'm thrilled, man. To be honest,
that's not bad.
I'm
of either of the night you could choose to go, that's not bad.
And I think Rhea and Becky is going to open night one.
Well,
which
now it's important for you to know that her name is Rhea.
Did I say Rhea? I'm sorry.
You sure
Rhea,
did.
Rhea Ripley. My apologies.
Yeah, she should win. Unfortunately, I don't think it's unfortunate.
She's going to win.
I assume you're also going to get the Gunther match against Sami Zayn,
which I would love. I want to see Gunther very badly.
Yeah, I hope he loses. I just need belts to change hands.
I'm kind of fine with not seeing like the Roman Cody Avengers finish. I'm cool with seeing that from the couch.
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of don't need to see Seth and Drew either.
Me either. And I think Drew's gonna win pretty handedly. So.
I don't know. I think Seth's outcome depends largely on what happens. Sunday is that Cody's getting the belt on Sunday.
I'll lock it up.
Yeah.
Lock.
So that's kind of why I'm happy that, like, at least now I don't know how he gets the belt. So that's fun.
It's going to be the Avengers.
But depending on how Saturday goes is what will determine what happens.
Maybe we'll
Sunday
do a WrestleMania preview. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we could.
This is from Avery Rules. Thanks for coming, by the way, on Saturday, my friend. Yeah. Who has more hatred for another human being / horse? Greg and Utley / Hong Kong Harry or Ryan and John Franco and Wander Franco? it's Greg.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys did. Like, you got. Do you think it's a joke when I threaten Chase's life on this year podcast?
Allegedly. Jesus. it's Greg. It is. There is some distance between us. Like, I don't. I probably hate. I do hate Wander Franco a lot.
Yeah, you really should watch Quiet on the Set. You'll learn a couple things.
God, Jesus. He used a helicopter, guys. It's bad.
Dude, Quiet on the Set is some of the most... I don't think it's spoilers. I don't know. You can't spoil a documentary. You can just Google this shit. But Drake Bell's dad in the third episode of Quiet on the Set is some of the most gut-wrenching, heartbreaking shit I've ever seen. Because he just talks about the entire time. He's like, I knew this guy was bad. I made his mom promise me one thing, and that's never leave Drake alone in a room with this guy. It's not going to go well. He is a problem. You don't have to like me, but this guy is bad. Please don't leave our son alone with this guy. And then it's just like, he was under the impression that she was following this advice.
Oh my God.
The entire time.
Brutal, dude. Absolutely brutal.
So Drake calls him and says, hey, did you see that Brian got arrested? And his dad says, oh, thank God he got arrested before he got to you, and had no idea that it was Drake that it all happened to.
Dude, that is bad.
It was so fucking crushing to see that. And it's just like, oh, it's like, listen, it for people of our generation, it's going to change how you view Nickelodeon. There's no escaping it. But you probably already feel that way if you know anything about Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
The news has been out there for like 8 years on him now.
A decade, yeah.
So like, if you got to watch it. But I like, you need to be warned that that third episode is going to take a steel chair to your fucking head.
This is from Remy. Greg, rank the variations of third lines we've gotten recently from best to worst based on vibes.
Mm.
Cooley is the number one, and then VC number two, and then
It's funny because you're only saying one name, and I think everybody understands that
yeah,
Wenberg and Kako are prerequisites
yes.
for the third line. Yeah, I like Cooley the most. I would say I'm a fan of VC on just about any line, frankly. But, I mean, Brodzinski works there, too. I'd honestly probably go Cooley 1, Brodzinski 2, VC 3, just because the more I put VC with Barclay Goodrow, the more confident I feel in Barclay Goodrow. But I just want to be clear. The Rangers could call up fucking Othman tomorrow and put him with Wenberg and Kako, and I would call that my favorite third line combination of all time. They could call up Brett Berard, play him on the left wing. I'd call that my favorite. The constant here is Wenberg and Kako. They are clicking, and they are gelling, and they are playing so well together where I don't know if you're at this point yet, Ryan, where I don't think they can let Wenberg walk, even if
my friend, they Beatles are not going healthy. To, so they are not going to.
Yeah, I think he adds too much depth to your lineup. And I know that people are going to be like, oh, so you think they're going to buy out Goodrow? No, I think they're going to put Goodrow on the wing. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that Goodrow's not going anywhere before you. What two things do you think people believe less about me? That I want Chase Utley dead or that Barclay Goodrow is going to be a Ranger for the next 2 years minimum?
I could see them buying him out, but I don't think it's possible. Like I think they can get everybody they want this offseason for the price they have. And I think while Wenberg makes a lot of money now, I think he might be willing to take a discount to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that. This is from Adam Furlong. I know there's been some consternation recently about Kreider's performance. The other night, I noticed some gray hairs in his beard, and I can't get that out of my head. I still remember vividly his performance in 2014 playoffs, the video of him jumping out the pool, etc. My question to you guys is, when did we get old? To quote Andy Bernard, I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you actually left them. We've been doing this podcast for 9 years. It's been 9 years. So
I'm sorry. You're going to have to repeat the question because someone just retweeted Woj onto my timeline. Toronto Raptors center Jonte Porter is out of the lineup and subject of an NBA investigation into irregularities on prop betting involving him. Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But it seems real convenient that there would be another sports gambling story on the day that Shohei Ohtani releases a statement.
It's pretty interesting.
What was the question again about Chris Kreider?
When did we get old? Did you guys hear the Fitz interview?
Ryan, we turned 35 this year.
It's sickening.
35.
It's 25 when we started this shit. Anyway, so this is from Dylan. Who are your top five players you were excited to watch in the playoffs for us? Mika Zibanejad. Artemi Panarin.
I don't know if I'm excited about Mika Zibanejad.
I'm excited to watch because I need to know. I need to know.
But I wouldn't call that excitement. I need to know for sure. I'm not excited because I'm worried it might be a negative answer.
Then the answer is actually Panarin, Fox, Kako, Lafreniere, Trocheck.
I want to put Kako. I would say Panarin, Miller, Fox, Trocheck, Lafreniere. In the non-Igor category.
Igor is the answer most of the time. This is from Michael San 816. Rank these small changes from what you'd want to see the NHL do most to the least. Shorthanded goal ends the power play, except for Major. Option to choose normal two-minute power play instead of a penalty shot. These are all things we've talked about over the years. Shorten the intermission to 14 to 15 minutes. I would love that. Puck over the glass being treated like icing instead of delay of a game penalty. Agree. And going back to white sweaters at home, colored on the road. The sweater thing, I don't care. Just take it off the list. Don't care at all. For me, I think the thing I want most is probably the shortened intermission, but they could just never do it. They would never do it, period. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, the intermissions, it's not about... The intermissions aren't for us. They're for the players.
Yep.
Right?
And they're for the ice as well.
Yeah. So I get that it could only be a certain length, whether I want it to be or not. I've always been... I mean, number one with a bullet is just make the overtime either timeless or 10 minutes and reinstitute ties if it's tied after 10 minutes. Just get rid of the fucking shootout. That's number one. Number two, I've always liked the, if you score shorthanded, it ends the penalty. I think that's a great rule. I that adds an offensive element to the penalty kill that I think would be beneficial to the game of hockey. It would incentivize teams to take chances down a man.
Agreed.
So I'm a big fan of that one. I like the delay of game penalty. I think it's bullshit if you put the puck over the glass in your own end of the zone. So I would keep that. I wouldn't want that one instituted at all.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
and then I you know, the other ones to me, the no, if over time I can't fix that, then give me the, I think a shorthanded goal should end a power play. I think that's wonderful.
Three more questions. Suck my cock home. Nice.
Nice.
Greg, if you have to pick the Rangers winning the cup this year or the Mets winning. No, guys.
This time of
come
year.
Come on, guys.
I love
what?
This time of
come
year.
Come on, dude.
Well, it's fun because you can always tell when someone's kind of new to the podcast.
It's like, this is not the first time.
I just want to be clear about this because to the guys that are new here and the girls that are new here listening to this show, I would get rid of the entire NHL if it meant one World Series for the Mets.
This cannot be a surprise to people.
No.
It cannot be.
If you told me I had to choose between 20 consecutive Rangers Stanley Cup wins versus one Met World Series title, it's obvious I'm going with the Mets. It's not even close.
The other one, that he had another question for me, is like, for you, Ryan, what would you Ranger? The other one would be last place for 10 years, whatever it is. Like, would you pick Rangers or Rays? It's not close, dude. It's the Rangers, and it's the bullet, dude. Yeah. I only care about two teams in my whole life. It's the Rangers and Liverpool. That's all I care about.
Yeah, you're out on the Rays because they started touching kids. I get it.
Yeah, that's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah, I think that's fair, though, by the way. I think that's a fair reason to stop following a team.
I've lost love for the team, legitimately, because the guy I, like, followed for a long time and, like, had a lot of stock in and, like, just used a helicopter to fly minors to him.
Yeah, and again, I think it's also important when people... When we talk about Ryan being a fan of the Rays, the genesis of this is a book written by a man who is in prison.
Yes, I think it's important. People ask all the time, how did you become a Rays fan? I grew up a Yankees fan. My dad is a hardcore Yankees fan. Okay?
Right.
So there you go. There, you've done that math for you.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, I fell out of love in baseball. And I was like, you know what? Baseball is cool. I'm going to read a book by Jonah Carey who beat his wife.
Mercilessly.
Yeah. So I followed the Rays. And then they sold other star players. But I liked all the cool things they did. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I got to watch them lose two World Series in painstaking fashion.
No, one World Series in painstaking fashion.
The other one was...
2020 was not a World Series, man.
Correct. Still, whatever, Blake Snell.
Sorry.
And then the star that they finally signed to a huge deal who was going to be the cornerstone of their franchise used a helicopter to fly kids to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, and again, I've said this before too. The second this podcast ends, whatever mythical year that is, if it even exists at this point, starting to think, better chance I die before we like just
we've
call
had
this
conversation. Yeah, we've talked about this. Yeah.
But... The day that the podcast ends, I just probably won't watch hockey. Like, this is a business relationship for Greg Kaplan. I was a casual Ranger fan before we started podcasting, and I've been a hardcore viewer of the Rangers for the last 10 years. But I will simply go back to being a New York Mets fan the day this podcast ends, because that is an obsession. This is a job. That's an obsession. That is something that I cannot compare to other things in my life.
And you know what? To say, to even give you credit, because it's an obsession with the Mets and a job for the Rangers, you end up giving a lot of really, really unique experience and takes.
Right, because I like, Yes, I want the Rangers to win, but...
No shit. Yeah, first of all, it's good for us. Second of all, I want them to win.
Right. Yeah, no, it's really beneficial for us when the Rangers win. Man, probably is a good... And you know what? We're not going to pick that, Scab. set myself up right there. I'm going to catch myself before it gets to you. But, yeah, I just... You know, my relationship with the Rangers is that not that of a diehard fan, where, like, you know, that's part of the reason why at times this year I was so kind of just blah about different games the Rangers won or what. Now, I know some of that is a lot of people were being ridiculous, but, like, my personality is not the New York Rangers. My personality is the New York Mets.
Yes.
And that's why when, oh my God, my favorite comments ever are the people that are like, will you stop comparing everything to the Mets? Brother, it's all I have in my life to compare it to.
9 years.
But like, it's all I have in my life to compare it to. Like, what do you want me to compare it to? Fucking eighth grade biology? Like, I don't know. What other life experience do you want me to connect this specific Ranger event to? I have to go to the thing that I've experienced most in my life, which is trauma at the hands of the New York Mets.
Whereas on my side, and I've talked about this with a bunch of people, like, the Rangers are my diehard. This is the way I go. It's the thing I follow the most. It's the thing I care about the most. But I watch Liverpool because I don't have to talk to anybody about it. And it's really nice. I just talk to my partner about it, and that's it.
Yeah, and then I'll text you a couple times being like, man, this team sucks.
I know. They're good, though. this is from Josh. Is it just me, or does it seem like Kreider is running 70% in the last few games? Thoughts on whether this is him trying to save for the playoffs? I'm not sure if he's trying to save it. I think he's just guts the cold streaks.
Yeah. Is it just because it's been so long since the last Chris Kreider cold streak that everyone seems to be ganging up on him for some reason?
Yep. I think so.
I truly think that's it. His game hasn't changed. And frankly, outside of one bad play he had against the Panthers,
it's been fine.
Been fine, man.
It's been fine.
Was that even the Panthers? No, wasn't he? Was it the
Panthers? No, it was the Jets. I was there.
The Jets. Yeah. I don't think it's been tangentially different any step of the way. I think what we have here is you guys, I'm talking to you, the fans, follow a couple of fucking Gen Z Twitter accounts that suck. And when they get angry about a player, you guys start parodying them a little bit. I'm putting this on you, and I can do it because I just told you I'm a fucking Met fan. I'm fucking impervious to this shit. You can't tell me that I'm just being old, crotchety, and whatever. No, I do. There are a couple Twitter accounts out there
that have ungodly followings. Attention, it's really rough.
No, I'm not going to say who they are, but you know, they say things loud enough where even if you disagree with their opinion, you start going, man, I keep hearing this. I wonder why I keep hearing this. Is this actually true? I've said this before, especially this year. Follow less people.
Yep.
When that whole meltdown in the Jet game was going on, my timeline was pristine, Ryan. People were like, oh, the Rangers are losing. Man, what are you going to do?
Yeah, because, it happens.
Yeah, they had won, what, like 10 of 12 before that game?
This is really good.
So they're just like, man, this is a good hockey team they're playing. The Jets, they're maybe one to keep an eye on. We'll see if we see them later in the playoff, blah, blah, blah. That's all I was seeing. And then I was getting texts from a friend of mine, and she was just like, why is Twitter burning to the ground? And I was like, why do you follow so many fucking people on Twitter?
Yeah, I follow less than ever. This is from David Werhowski, who actually wrote our theme song like 9 years ago. It's crazy.
Wow.
Zach Jones is obviously playing the best hockey as of recently. Do you think that's because Lavia's system? Because we all know Glant didn't have one. I'll actually go a little further than that. It's because they actually practice and they actually game plan. And they actually spent time with Zach Jones when he wasn't playing, honing in on his game and saying how he should be playing when he does get the chance.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you cannot replace in-game minutes for young players. That's a big reason why it's more impactful for young players like a Brennan Othman, like a Will Cooley. You go down the list. While the AHL is not the NHL in terms of what guys are playing against every night, it is still competitive, high-level hockey minutes. But that doesn't mean development can't happen outside of games at the NHL level.
Yep.
And
exactly that.
You know, yes, Laviolette deserves credit, but Zach Jones deserves a ton of credit. He bought in. He could have been moody. He could have been a malcontent. He could have demanded a trade. He could have forced his way out of New York. He could have been difficult. And he said, no, you know what? This environment gives me a chance to make me a better player. And I will use what I am learning this year to hopefully get exposure in the minutes I get, or simply be a better player tomorrow than I am today because I'm working with these coaches, with this roster, and I will use this experience, take it to my next team, and hopefully use that as a launching pad to a successful career. Yes, Laviolette and the entire coaching staff, probably Dan Muse most importantly, deserve a ton of credit for how they've used Jones, for how they've communicated with Jones, for how they've deployed Jones when he's been in the lineup. But Jones himself deserves a fuckload of credit because this is not an easy situation for a young player on a one-year restricted free agency contract making less than $1 million to be going through on a veteran team. There Correct. Were no openings for Zach Jones. The Rangers have made it clear that Braden Schneider is a more important player for them. They brought Eric Gustafson in, who worked closely with the coach before him. It was made clear to Zach Jones that he was going to be the odd man out since July 1st, and he still bought in. That deserves a ton of credit. And honestly, that's why Laviolette is giving him a ton of credit. Laviolette knows that it took player buy-in for him to get to this point. And he is giving him his plaudits for that. That is good coaching, but that's better personal management from the player. I have nothing but good things to say about Zach Jones. I don't know what his future holds with the Rangers. It's very clear to me that it doesn't seem like there's going to be a spot for him in the top six for the Rangers next year. But this is a player, Ryan, that last summer we were talking about the Rangers would be lucky to get a fourth round pick for him. He could be a player used to get an impactful player on this roster next year to fill a need if he doesn't have a spot. And that's a big if, because who knows what this defense is going to look like next year.
That's the show. You can follow me on Twitter at O'Ryan Media. Follow Greg at Blue Shirt Break.
Okay, fuck the Mets then. Fine, whatever.
Oh, I got to go. I gotta go.
There'll be a Back in the New York Groove. I'm doing it with Dan on Wednesday. It'll be nice. There for all you guys.
Nice. Yeah, you can learn about the Mets story. Yeah, see you guys then. Love you guys. Bye. Hey, it's the end of the show, which I thank NHL Insider Club members, our top Patreon supporters, who I think every show I'm mispronouncing their name, and also I'm doing a lottery on who the winners are. We have yet to decide a prize, so stay tuned for that. It'll be workshopping, like all things this podcast is. Without further ado, I would like to thank them. Adam Cohen, Adam Cortullo, Adam Keach, Alex Gartner, Alex Flynn, Amber Cohensberger, Andrew Runner, Anthony Gray, Anthony Mikal, who is our winner this week. Congratulations. I'm going to write that one down. Nice. Got a win. I did the RNG and you won, Anthony. So I hope you're having a wonderful week and we're going to figure out what you're in the running to win. I think if someone wins three times, we're going to do something special. They have to win three times though, which seems impossible, but will happen in way sooner than I think. Anthony Monturo, Anthony Tanagreta, April Erickson, Ari Zanger, Ben Waters, Bill Weber, wow, I cannot read. Bill Weber. Okay, hold on. Ben Weber. Ben Waters, Ben Weber, Bill Allison, Bill Rattel, Bowen Greenleaf, Brandon Lackos, Brandon Magnum, Breck Ranger, Brian Dory, Brian Doyle, Brian Gallagher, Brian Mallon, Brian Sotavia, Brian Farrell, Cassidy Roland, CJ, Chris Finelli, Chris Howard, CJ Selleck, and Connor Bidemage, Daniel Delaney, Daniel Design, David Aaron, David Siegel, Dennis Deitz, DJ Banana Jazz, Dr. Kruger, Dylan Brettschneider, Eric Stagg, Gabe Valley, Garrett Reynes, Gib Gardner, Cup, Greg, Gretzky McFly, Harrison Haskell, Hippo Vanilla, Hippo 89, Ian Usher, Jack Bagley, Jack Rogan, Jake Keek, James Masker, Jerry Marquez, Jason Stumer, Jason Zabrowski, Joanna, John Hardesty, Johnny Shade, Johnny Thundercock, Jordan, Joseph Sirko, Josh Kestenbaum, Josh White, Chris Florida, Carl Schwinwinging, Ryan, that was embarrassing, Kreider Die, Lee Plummer, Leshik Gronowski, Lou Giordano, Matthew Goodwin, Matthew Kai, Meatball the Cat, Mike Koenig, Michael Bucklaw, Mike, good seeing you, Mike. Sorry, there's so many mics in a row. Michael Koenig, Mike Bucklaw, Mike Mancuso, Mike Pasternak, Nate Hanifee, Neeks, Neil Grover, Palms for Prez, Nicholas DiNicola, Other Slash, Pascal Barriere, Paul G. Smith, Pavel, Phoenix Ignition. Congrats on the top eight. Pre-Justice Sparrow, Randy Tester, hope you're doing well. Ryan C., Ryan Watch Miracle, I'm still working on it. Swinegard, The Drop, PK, Tommy Sinclair, Tommy Tedeschi, Tommy O'Neill, Tony Gregory, Tori from Manhattan, the original supporter, Vinny Bracco, Vinny Hay, Will Spector, and Winston, the bark, retriever, golden retriever. Oh, God, was I recording? All right, I was. Thank God. Woo! All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming out to T-Squared. We had a good crowd, about 30 people. Last year, we did the playoffs, maybe 35. Last year we did the playoffs, we had about 200. So thanks to the people at T-Square to support us. Not an ad for them, but they really are generally very nice. And the place is quite nice and conveniently located. So we'll be doing a playoff watch party there. Awesome to see everyone. Awesome to just get around and chat about the Rangers with a bunch of people I haven't seen in a while. And it's just good to hang out and watch the game. Who knew? Weird week. I think I'll be at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night for the game. I think I'm going to get last second tickets. If you have a ticket you want to throw at my face, let me know. Send me a DM on Twitter. Maybe I'll go. So send me there. I'll see you guys there. Love you guys. Bye.